Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Peter Welch, what should we do about the mess that we find ourselves in Russia?
Well, I think that very severe sanctions are really necessary in view of what Putin's done. I mean, Putin has blood on his hands. It's very clear that missile that took the plane down was supplied by the Russians, and obviously they must have provided the training. It's not like the rebels picked that up at a garage sale. So there's just no getting around it that Putin's got a hand in this, and he's got to back off. So my view, there should be a strong and coordinated set of sanctions that are imposed on Russia. And the challenge here is to have Europe play a major role in that, because they were really the victims of this. The Netherlands in particular, in the past they've been reluctant to do sanctions, but this may well change it. In my view, it should.
Easier said than done, yes, Peter?
It's easier said than done, because in order for sanctions to have a significant impact, there has to be significant European cooperation. And the Europeans have been hesitant because they, in fact, will suffer to some extent from any sanctions that we impose on Russia. So there's been some reservations. But what you've seen here is Putin just going so beyond responsible conduct, and where by arming these rebels with missiles that were used then to take down a civilian aircraft, it creates immense additional instability, and it's extremely dangerous. And frankly, I suspect that Putin overplayed his hand. He went farther than he thought things were going to go. But it just is another example. When you're arming rebels that you don't control, things that you don't want to necessarily happen do happen.
Switching to another subject, I know that you are extremely interested in the failure of your colleagues to come up with an answer to the Highway Trust Fund. You want to tell us about it?
Well, you know, one of the basic functions of government, of our national government, is to fund the infrastructure of our roads and bridges. And roads and bridges are long-term projects. You don't build a bridge or even repair a bridge in a couple of months. So you have to have a sustainable long-term funding source to meet the sustainable and long-term requirements to maintain our highways and bridges. And Congress, a couple of years ago, passed a short-term bill, and it was intended to give Congress time to come up with a long-term funding source to meet long-term needs. And instead of using that time, Congress squandered its time, and it came up with this fix that'll go through April or May, that's based on, really, in my view, a pretty corrupt way of funding, so-called pension smoothing. And it only will last 6 or 7 months, and basically we'll be creating a pothole in our pension system in order to fill potholes temporarily in our highway system.
Hey, Peter, can I just interrupt and ask you if you would talk to us a little bit about what this scheme of pension smoothing is all about?
But, you know, if sometimes companies have pensions. They enter in agreements with their employees, and they partly fund a pension. And once they agree to do that, and that's their own decision, then actuarial rules apply to make certain that the yearly contributions are actuarially sound, so that when you or I go to get our pension, the money's there. Mm. And what the bill would do will diminish the amount of money that a corporation has to fund to meet its future pension obligations. And then the theory is there'll be more revenue for the government to tax from that corporation. So it's pretty bizarre because it's magic accounting, number one. Number two, it's wishful thinking, potentially, that the money will be there. And number three, it's not long-term or sustainable. So I really regard what we did with this so-called pension smoothing and a short-term approach as exhibit A of not only congressional dysfunction, but irresponsibility. Potholes don't fix themselves, and you have to have a long-term dedicated revenue source to meet our highway obligations. And raiding pensions or messing with the accounting standards for pensions and doing it for an 8-month bump so we can avoid our responsibility is just it's just a coward's way out.
I know you've always tried very hard, Peter Welch, to get along with your Republican colleagues. But, you know, this idea of the pension smoothing obviously gives one the whiff of greed on the part of these major corporations, some of whom don't even pay taxes.
Well, it's true, but what's worse about it is that this wasn't necessarily pushed by the pensions. I mean, this was cooked up in the Ways and Means Committee, really for the venality of members of Congress to avoid making the decision we all know we have to make, and that is come up with some revenues to fund our highways. You know, people get that, in my view. Nobody likes to pay taxes. They don't like tolls. They don't like gas taxes. And it's tough on folks because we've got to get our kids to school. We got to get to work. We got to get them to the soccer game. And a lot of folks, particularly in Vermont, rural areas, they drive a lot. But everyday people know that potholes don't fix themselves, and you can't get something for nothing. And Congress is acting in this highway bill as though we can. And then it's resorting to this scheme to come up with 8 months of funding.
So is this partisan? Is this Republicans versus Democrats? Or are there people who don't understand on both sides?
No, I'd say this is largely a failure of leadership on the part of Mr. Boehner, because they could have put a bill on the floor. If they put a bill on the floor, tough as it would have been, even with a gas tax, you know, which is very tough for members to vote for, but if it was dedicated to fixing our highways and bridges, you would have had a majority that paid for that would have supported that. In fact, Bill Shuster, who's the Republican chair of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, he would have supported it. So this was the Republican leadership deciding this was just too much of a hot potato on their side. So really, the responsibility, I think, is with Mr. Boehner and the Republican leadership.
Well, the irony here, of course, is that the greatest progenitor, if that's the right word, of the highway system in America was Dwight Eisenhower.
Well, that's right. And you know, Dwight Eisenhower was ambitious, and he understood that there was a huge economic potential that could be unleashed with an interstate highway system. And who'd have thought that we could have knit the country together with that highway system? And this historically has been something what America has always done, and there's been debates about it. But, you know, it started with the Erie Canal. I mean, there was a canal system that really started in New York that was extraordinarily ambitious for its day, and it allowed commerce to grow. It allowed farmers to get their crops to places they never before could have sold them. And then we built the Intercontinental Railroad, and that was Lincoln in the Civil War was very ambitious about that at a time of maximum peril for our country. So we've done this. In an ambitious country, in a confident country, we'll work together to build the infrastructure that's required for commerce and industry and economic prosperity.
Let's talk a little bit about something I know you really are trying to do in a bipartisan fashion, and that's the Brand USA tourism legislation.
Well, that's right, and we had progress there. I work with Gus Bilirakis, who is a Republican from Florida, and that's, of course, a huge tourist destination. In Vermont, we're smaller, but we think it's an incredibly beautiful place, and it's a big part of our economy. The ski industry, the leaf peeping, fall foliage, summer things that people can do, and it creates a lot of jobs in the Adirondacks. I just saw Governor Cuomo and Governor Shumlin took that raft trip in the Adirondacks. So it's a big part of our economy, and the nice thing about this is it's a public-private partnership. You've got the tourist industry that's putting some of its own money and then a lot of in-kind contributions into this into the fund for advertising and promoting, basically.
So do we have to brand the USA Tourism?
We do. We want to really get the word out to folks to, hey, we're open to show you around in the Adirondacks, in the Green Mountain State. And folks who come, they spend. And then that helps our local economies. So this public-private partnership doesn't rely on a dollar of taxpayer money. And it's, in my view, an example of where when you put rhetoric aside and ideology aside and just focus on, hey, what's the problem? How can we work together to get it solved? You can benefit the people that we all are representing. So this was good. We got it passed by a very solid bipartisan vote. Representative Bilirakis from Florida was great to work with. He did a fine job, and that's a little point of light for us here.
Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont, at large. We're out of time. We thank you so much for being with us. It's always great to talk to you, my friend.
Thank you.